Welcome to the Invest with Clarity podcast, where you will learn how success in investing, as in life, is the result of absolute clarity. Mark Pearson of Nepsis in Minneapolis, Minnesota, shares his passion for portfolio management and commitment to transparency and communication to allow investors to fully understand what they own and why, bringing them to clarity in their investments. And now, here are your co-hosts, Matt Halloran and Mark Pearson.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 with Mark Pearson. Now, today we're going to talk about a highly contested philosophy when it comes to financial services, which is called an investment policy statement. And our topic today is, what is the importance of an IPS or an investment policy statement? So, Mark, as we start today, why don't you tell our listeners what an investment policy statement is, and let's dive into why it's important.
Well, Matt, first of all, good to be with you again. I've missed you.
I've missed you, too. It seems like it's been a while, but our listeners aren't going to realize that, but that's okay.
Has been a while. But and as usual, you ask great common sense kind of questions. So the purpose of an investment policy statement, also referred to often as an IPS, is the purpose is to establish, you know, a clear understanding between the investor and the investment advisor as to not only the investment objectives of the portfolio, but also the policies that are applicable to the investor's investment portfolio.
Okay,
it sets forth expectations and understandings.
Okay, you've got to dumb that down about 50%. That was very technical and jargony. So be a little bit less specific.
It's the roadmap to make sure you're staying on track with your investment objectives and your risk tolerance.
And it's a roadmap so that you and your advisor are sitting in the same car driving in the same direction. Is that fair?
Not only the advisor and us at Nepsis, but also the client.
Fantastic. Good, good, good. Okay. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. There are a lot of financial services professionals out there, Mark, who adamantly refuse to put what you just said in writing. Why are they so afraid to put it in writing?
Oh, ouch.
Well, sorry about that.
I don't know if I want to call this devil's advocate or you want to throw me under the bus. Well, obviously, I can't answer why an advisor would not do an IPS. There could be multiple reasons why. Number one, in my opinion, one of the main purposes of the investment policy statement is not just what I told you before, but it's also the accountability aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And accountability as a fiduciary is obviously very important, right?
Yeah.
And I just fundamentally believe that if you don't know what you own and why you own it, if you don't really have direct control over the who, what, where, when, why, and how decisions are made in the management of your money, it could expose you. It could leave you vulnerable to not having explanations to when clients ask important questions about their portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the reasons Nepsis is here is to help investors have, you know, better wealth and a better life. And one of the ways to do that is having greater clarity about what is happening with your money. And of course, in today's world, as you know, the markets keep going straight up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not seeing any sort of sizable pullback. So investors become complacent.
Yes.
But the day will come, mind you, without question, you will see a correction.
Mm-hmm.
You will see a sizable correction, whether it's 5, 10, 20% or Black Monday in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the sleeping bear will be awoken and the client will say, holy cow, what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
I need to know what's going on with my money.
Right.
And of course, as you know, Matt, the traditional approach is that, well, we're in for the long haul. We're in for long term.
Hold on.
How many times we've heard advisors say, hey, just hold on. We're going to make it through. I think corrections create one of the greatest buying opportunities to make your portfolio better than you could ever ask for.
Right. And I love when you've – because you brought that up on previous podcasts that it really is a marketplace. And by the way, we need to cue that up as one of our other – our soon – next podcast. But you said something –
That's funny. By the way, to interrupt you. Sorry.
Yeah.
That is so funny you just said that. because while I was getting my cheaters for the call or for the podcast, I was thinking, you know what? After we do the investment policy one here, the next one's going to be on strategic cost averaging.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's and that's a perfect setup for really just the whole sequence. So just for our listeners to truly understand, so we just finished a two-part podcast on really what investing with clarity means. Now,
yes.
And then Mark just said again how important and what an IPS investment policy statement does is it provides not just the investor, but also NEPSIS and the advisor clarity on what their roadmap is, right? So now we're seeing a very clear and consistent message here, which is going to lead us to, okay, so what happens, right? But you said something, and I got to poke you in the eye about this again, even though I'm not poking you, I'm actually poking a lot of other people, which is the idea of accountability. So when an investment policy statement is put in place, that means that there is an agreement between all parties that this is the way that your money is going to be managed. And therefore, you can hold everybody accountable, including the advisor, NEPSIS, and the client, as you know, a person accountable to that agreement. Is that a fair statement?
That's a great way to say it. You are correct.
So help me. Mm-hmm. Why? I mean, so you talk about an IPS. This is a cornerstone of clarity.
Yep.
Let's break down what's in an IPS.
Yeah, great question. So when you think about the investment policy statement, there are several pieces to it. First of all, I'll just give you a few bullet points that you would dissect further. First of all, you have the portfolio principles. You have your investment objectives, right? And by the way, let me clarify roadmap, because here at NEPSIS, we have a clarity roadmap, which is the financial planning process that combines the investing with the planning. We call that the clarity roadmap. The IPS is the roadmap for the investment portion of a client's process. So not to confuse a financial plan, just to put that out there.
Good.
The portfolio principles, you've got your investment objectives detailed. You've got the guidelines and policies of the IPS. What's that mean? The time horizon, the risk tolerances, and performance expectations. Expectations are critical to investment success. Not only managing the expectations, but then communicating how you're doing within those expectations. Your asset allocation, rebalancing, and there's a few others. I won't go into all that right now. But guidelines and policies are a big bullet. Duties and responsibilities, Matt. What are the duties and the responsibilities of the investor, the advisor, the and/or portfolio manager, reporting and communication? And in our investment policy statement, we actually end with the investment philosophy and strategy. In other words, here at NEPSIS, we utilize a very specific investment philosophy and strategy, as you've heard me say a million times. Mm-hmm. Investing is a process. And in the process, you have your philosophy and your strategy. And we detail that and reiterate that over and over as a function of managing that client's and frankly, the financial advisor's expectations.
Let's dive into each of those just a little bit more deeply. Let's talk about objectives, which I think is a great foundational conversation. What do you and what does your client want to get out of these investments? Is that how you define objectives?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. You know, I think in our world of jargon, as you aptly said earlier about my definition, we live in a world in the financial services business that is just completely full of jargon.
Right.
And I think in many ways that has a tendency to confuse the investor. I mean, one of the big buzzwords lately has been smart beta.
Mm-hmm.
Smart beta. What in the heck does that even mean? And of course, you've got all these different titles, names for mutual funds, for exchange traded funds, for other investment type vehicles. And you look at the title and sometimes you got to say to yourself, I don't even know what that means. And then when you look at what the investments are in it, if you even can, that even confuses you more.
Mm-hmm.
And so from our perspective, we made our process for investment objectives very simple, very straightforward. You have five different types of portfolios. You have a growth portfolio, a growth and income portfolio, balanced portfolio, income and growth, and income. And each one of them spells out in the document for the investor the expectations of the allocation within the portfolio to help them accomplish their goals.
Okay.
Now, the juice to help manage that is a separate document, which we could probably spend another show on, which is called the Investment Policy and Objective Setting Questionnaire, which is the questionnaire that is both empirical and behavioral in its process. And that document then coincides with the investment objective so that when the investor turns their money over to Nepsis to be managed, there is a very clear, very clean, and defined path of how their money is going to be managed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That is why you have to have the IPS.
Right. For everybody who's listening, I hope you've listened to maybe other podcasts or you've had other relationships with other professionals, not necessarily just financial services professionals. What Nepsis does that I believe is truly unique and different is they have systems and processes to walk you through so you have a consistent experience from beginning to end. Within an IPS, there are other aspects and other systems that Nepsis people will take you through and your advisor can take you through, which allows there to be a level of consistency, which I believe allows Nepsis to help you invest with clarity in such a way that really does make them unique and different from other advisors. And with that, expectations. This is where most people have their biggest grumpy pants but with financial advisors and advisors have with their clients. Let's talk about expectations.
Well, you do such a good job at spelling things out. So expectations range for different investors, right? We often, of course, as we've talked about previously, Matt, we don't believe in benchmarking. We think benchmarking is nothing more than an excuse to justify their job.
Right.
And, I hear clients, they say to me, but I have to compare you to something. I have to know how well you're doing. I have to know whether or not you're doing a good job for me. And my response to that is, how do you even quantify that? And so the problem is investors set expectations for their portfolio based on strictly performance. And that performance is compared to an opaque benchmark that the investor themselves don't even understand how it's structured, right? I mean, I had a guy recently tell me, you know, I compared my portfolio's performance every year to the S&P 500, how your portfolio does. And I say to him every year, why are you comparing my portfolio to S&P 500? I've told you every year that your portfolio is a global asset allocation portfolio. To use a large cap US-based index to do a comparison of how well your portfolio is doing is a moot point. You're doing yourself a disservice. Ironically, Matt, this last year, wouldn't it just surprise you that he decided that he wanted to compare his portfolio this last year to the Dow Jones Industrial Average? And why would he want to do that?
Because the Dow has been screaming straight up.
Yeah, and it did better than the S&P last year for the first time in I don't know how long.
Well, you know, he might want to compare you to the FTSE here or not, you know. Sorry, exactly. Continue. I know. Wow.
But that gets to my point about the idea that the investment policy statement is designed to keep them on track. So I go right back to the investment policy statement. I tell the clients, remember this, remember this, remember this. It's all spelled out for you in the investment policy statement. And, you know, when you think about expectations, the client's only benchmark should be, am I on track to have the kind of financial future I want to have?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, this is a great quick story for you. I was in another state the last couple days meeting with our largest client. And our financial advisors who work with the client do a great job in managing the client and providing content, information about how the client's portfolio is doing. And for a long time, the advisors have attempted to get the client to do a financial plan because the client is spending money, spending a lot on a percentage basis of portfolio, usually about 8 to 10% of the total portfolio a year.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, for anyone out there in the financial planning business, as you know, Matt, that's a pretty big spend down.
Oh, yeah.
Now, fortunately, the portfolio's done well and has been able to sustain. But that isn't necessarily always going to happen. But the client never wanted to do a plan. And on the call we just had, the client gave an epiphany, which was they said, I'm finally ready to do a plan. I don't have a roadmap. I'm spending this money. I have all this money, and it's great you're keeping me up to date on my portfolio, but I don't know what all that means. I don't have a plan. I need help. And the client readily said, it's been my fault. I haven't been ready for the plan.
Mm.
Now, let me tell you why this is important and how it circles back to your investment policy statement. If you don't have a plan, then all the investment policy statement becomes is a tactical component, meaning a piece that doesn't have an endpoint, meaning it's surfacey. It's give me returns. How am I doing versus the S&P 500? How am I doing versus the FTSE or whatever index you want to use? And that's how I'm going to grade how you're doing. Now, the reason why investors should not only do that, their benchmark should be their investment, their financial plan, their financial goals. And do the returns in the portfolio enable you to accomplish those goals that you have set forth for yourself? And then it enables you on the investment policy statement then to focus on, Matt, what's the important aspects of what I refer to the investments as being the fuel. The investments are the fuel.
Mm-hmm.
The investment policy statement is a map that is used – that's fueled by the money and a part of the map in your overall financial plan. So expectations, managing expectations can be very difficult without leadership from the advisor. Mm-hmm. It's all about leadership.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about leading the client. And the investment policy statement gives you that tool to confidently lead not only – the investments, but how they coincide with the overall financial plan.
Which leads us right into duties and responsibilities. And the duties and responsibilities, as you had previously defined it, wasn't just for the advisor and Nepsis, but it was also for the client. So let's start with what duties and responsibilities the client has, and then let's branch off into the other two segments, if
sure.
you don't mind.
So a couple of big ones for the investor, for the client. They must have an appropriate time horizon.
Hmm.
They must understand their liquidity needs, their true risk tolerance, and investment objectives, as well as what the investment objectives are and the policies are of the portfolio. The more you understand, i.e., the more clarity that you have about your portfolio and what it's doing, the more able you are to stick to the process, to stick to the roadmap, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times have we in our lives had a map, a plan to do something, and something comes up, a roadblock comes up, something happens in our life that takes us off the path. And we get off the path, and all of a sudden it spiders on us, and we start going into multiple other paths. It's kind of like when you're looking at houses, you want to drive around and look at houses. People do that all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go into a neighborhood, they're on the main road, they make a turn, all of a sudden they make another turn, they make another turn, they see all these beautiful houses we refer to as all the shiny stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they see this super hot stock like Amazon going up and they want to own it or they want to own gold and silver, and they get off on the side road, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they get so deep off the side, they get so far off the map that they can't even figure out how to get back onto the
sure.
map, onto the main road. And so the importance of sticking to the roadmap of the IPS becomes critical to the long-term success of that investor. So understanding their duties and responsibilities do include understanding what is the investment philosophy, what is the strategy, what's the sell discipline, what's the buy discipline. Now, many investors, you know, Matt, they frankly, they don't care. And they don't care because a lot of people investing money today, except for the $15 trillion still sitting on the sidelines, poor souls, they don't care because, gee, their portfolio just keeps going up every month.
Mm-hmm.
It's like driving down the side road. Boy, these houses look pretty good. Boy, these are nice. This is really awesome. Or buying the gold. Hey, the gold's gone up 10% since I bought it. This is really awesome. And then all of a sudden, take a wrong turn. Gold goes down 10%,
mm-hmm.
or you get lost at looking at the shiny houses and you can't figure out how to get back on the road. So the biggest thing I believe for the investor is the idea that they must stick. I use the phrase a lot, you maybe have heard me use, stick to the knitting.
Yeah.
You've got to stick to the knitting. This is one that investors don't do, but it's part of their duties and responsibilities. The investor should read and understand the information contained in prospectuses or annual reports of each mutual fund or other investments in their portfolio. Additionally, the investor should read and understand the information contained in market updates, which will periodically be sent to the investor to keep them informed on capital markets. Now, who does that? What investor's going to read the prospectus? They're going to say, you know what? That's your job. And frankly, it is the job. But how many financial advisors read the prospectuses? Now, in all fairness, we don't usually use mutual funds unless we're using them for a very specific tactical piece, i.e. hedging or something else. But because we generally use individual assets to manage the client's asset allocation. But we put out a quarterly update, a market update, and we reiterate the messaging over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, Matt, repetition is the spice of life.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't read them.
Hmm.
Financial advisors don't read them.
Well,
the first question I always ask a client or an advisor is, did you read the quarterly update?
Right.
No. And then investors go and make these decisions haphazardly about what's going on with their money. They get off the roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
So there are other, obviously, duties and responsibilities. It's the duty and responsibility of the investor if there's any significant issues or changes in their life. They need to let the advisor know.
First off, if we don't
know that those are changing, how do we know that we're on the right path still? Maybe we have to use a different map.
Well, you just totally keyed me up for my last question of today. But what I think should happen is Wall Street needs to hire, like, Dan Brown to write, you know, those horrible, you know, 18,000 page things that we get from, you know, so that it's at least exciting, you know, and maybe a little Illuminati-esque. Anyway, but you just said something that I really think our listeners need to understand, which is the investment policy statement is and needs to be somewhat flexible, right? Because people's lives change, don't they?
Yes, for sure. You're absolutely right. It's got to have flexibility. It has to have some specifics, but there's got to be some generality in there too to give wiggle room for the client.
Good.
And the manager. And that's why we say actually in the investment objectives that in general, usually, however, this may happen or that may happen, and we may have to make decisions to protect money or to get you the money you need when you ask for a big withdrawal, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Having your IPS, you're dead right. Having your IPS be flexible is important. And I think a lot of that gets into the understanding of how your money is allocated. I'll end with this, unless you want one more question in there. Many investors think, and this was really popular in 1999, 2000, the last time we had a major meltdown in 1999 into 2000 when the secular bull market ended at that time. I met with more and more investors who said to me, you know, I thought I was diversified. I thought by owning this mutual fund, mm-hmm. I was diversified. And the same problem is happening now as investors in their 401ks are putting all their money into U.S. stocks. They're buying all the U.S. large cap S&P stocks. And they're absolutely right. They are diversified. But a successful portfolio is not just about diversification. It is also about asset allocation. And a lot of investors are not there. And that is a time bomb, I believe, that will eventually explode. And that's what happened in 2000, Matt,
mm-hmm.
when the S&P peaked in March mm-hmm. of 2000 and crashed. It was because so many people were invested in the S&P index. They were and they didn't know how the S&P index was structured. And I think like 7 out of the 10 top stocks in the S&P 500 were driving over 80% of the total return.
Jeez. Oh,
and so investors don't understand how indexes work and what the risks are that potentially could hinder their ability to invest for success.
And that will do it for our podcast today. In our next podcast, episode number 8, we're going to talk about that $15 trillion that Mark was just talking about that's still sitting on the sidelines and what people should do with that cash that they're sitting on the sidelines, because that's really the topic of our next podcast. So, Mark, thank you for your brain today.
My pleasure. Glad to be with you once again, boss.
All right. So thank you very much for listening to Episode 7, The Importance of an Investment Policy Statement. Again, if you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure that you click the Subscribe Now button below. That way, every time Mark comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up right on your listening device. For Mark Pearson, my name is Matt Halloran. Thank you, and we'll see you again very soon.
The content discussed is for informational purposes only. It is not a solicitation or recommendation for any securities that may be mentioned herein. Advisory services offered through Nepsis, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor.